winds begin to push in. Afternoon temperatures will range from around 11 Celsius in Glasgow, 10 across Aberdeen and 7 degrees in Shetland. Well, that's how your forecast is looking. I'll hand you back to Luke.
Stav, thank you. Now on Radio 4, the last in our series of letters from Italy. Throughout this week, we've been hearing from leading figures in politics, culture, economics and broadcasting about the uneasy state of the Italian nation. Inconclusive and surprising elections, the threat of financial crisis, and even the arrival of the new Pope have made it a confusing time for the most experienced of Italy watchers. Today, it's the turn of the journalist Annalisa Piras to send her letter from Italy.
Lettera dall'Italia.
Lettera dall'Italia.
I know. That's indisputably the sound of London, not the sound of Rome, the Pines, the Vespa. London is home. My name is Annalisa Piras, and I've lived here for the last 15 years as a journalist and filmmaker, seeing my country, my mother country, from a distance and with a certain pain. But in truth, I have to tell you that the letter I'm posting, I've written it while in Italy. I was there just recently. I spent quite an unusual Easter break with my two daughters. So let me take you back there to that warmth for my letter from Italy.
Saturnia, Tuscany. And the noise you're hearing is the hot, sulphurous springs that produce 800 litres of water every second. It's lovely here, but the sky is covered with unseasonably menacing clouds and the weather is unseasonably gloomy. According to ancient Roman legend, the rocks here were split open by a thunderclap. Jupiter was trying to kill his father, Saturn, who in Greek mythology is Kronos, time in Greek. In Saturnia, time seems to have stood still since the ancient Romans used to bathe here. My daughters are playing at reading the sky above us. It's difficult to see shapes in these menacing grey, curly clouds, but it occurs to me that this melancholic, liquid setting captures the confused, somber, chaotic feeling that many Italians have about our country today. Rome, we've been out walking. The Easter atmosphere is gloomier than I can ever remember it, and not just because of the weather. Usually the Roman spring, warm and joyous, lifts the spirit of the city, announcing the most pleasant weather of the year, just before the scorching sun of the summer that pushes people out of town. Not this year. The Eternal City is suddenly showing its age. There is a depressing decay, the growing lawlessness underlined by legal immigrants selling trinkets everywhere, the distressed palazzi defaced by offensive graffiti, cars parked anywhere in between pavements savagely pierced by ubiquitous and scruffy electoral adverts. They are the leftovers from a bitter and inconclusive election over a month ago. Time is passing, draining the few energies left in a country prostrated by 10 years of economic stagnation, 20 years of Berlusconian scandals, and 12 months of draconian austerity measures. Elections are supposed to settle disputes and, like Easter, to bring new beginnings. But the warring tribes are still fighting about how to form a government, about choosing a new head of state. 50 days have gone by in total stalemate between three big political blocs, making new general elections feel inevitable, but God knows when. And not for the first time, Italians wish he would provide some inspiration. For in Rome, the only jolly faces are those of the pilgrims. More visitors than ever have come to greet the new Vatican attraction. An Argentinian Pope, the first non-European, the first Jesuit, the first to choose the name of Saint Francis of Assisi, who brought harmony and poverty to a Catholic Church blighted by discord and corruption. An ancient institution showed a remarkable capacity for renewal. 100 old cardinals arrived in Rome 2 months ago, and when faced with the greatest crisis of the papacy in modern times, quickly chose a man who has so far showed great heart and, more importantly, the energy and determination to restore the reputation of the firm. It's no accident that Francesco is also the patron saint of the newest political force on the Roman and European bloc, the five-star movement, Il Movimento Cinque Stelle, founded by comedian turned politician Beppe Grillo. I suspect you have heard a lot about Beppe Grillo. I'm struggling to think of a British equivalent. He's the sort of satirist figure like Ben Elton in the Thatcher years. As in the past, Italy is proving to be the political laboratory of Europe. We don't know yet if this time is creating a monster, as with Mussolini's fascism, or the first rays of light of a European spring. What we do know is that the Five Star Movement is the first party in Europe to go from zero to a country's second political force in just 4 years, mainly through the web. But confusion reigns about its true nature. My fellow letter writers have already told you that some fear all this might just be very similar to Berlusconism. For its most concerned critics, it is not much different. Populism led by a personality cult around a funny man. But there are many crucial differences. Here the populism is digital, not televisual. And the main enemy of Grillo is the corrupted political caste, while Berlusconi, to many, is the flag bearer. Many people I meet are willing to give Grillo the benefit of the doubt. They are exasperated, and the fresh Grillini faces in Parliament are all young and lots of them women. Both of those groups have been badly hit by the economic slump. 1 in 3 young Italians can't find a job. It's worse if you're a woman. Gender equality in Italy is now ranked 80th in the world. Britain is number 18. And it's among those groups that Grillo inspired the hope of a true renewal, the modern revolution that Italy has never had. The rain has stopped, so we've travelled to the Tuscan coast and a sweet little restaurant on a deserted beach. The rainbow on the turquoise water, the delicious spaghetti con vongole and a resplendent local white wine would make you think that Italy still has so much to cheer you up. For me, a good meal in Italy tastes better than any other good meal. But the only other customers with us are German tourists. They smile in delight, just as my daughters, now slurping on ice cream. My documentary on the terminal illness of Italy, Girlfriend in a Coma, ends with their views on their country of origin. For them, it's a wonderful place where food is delicious, people are beautiful, and there is a beach where you can eat ice cream. Probably our German friends at the next table see Italy in the same way, as a beautiful girlfriend whose coma they don't want to acknowledge. But my daughters are 7 and 10 years old. It is their future, after all. At least 1 million young Italians have left the country, mostly graduates, in the past 10 years, in an underreported modern diaspora. Is anyone paying attention? The most depressing fact is the absence of a truly convincing leader capable of waking up a country in a coma. On the frescoed ceilings of Palazzo Vecchio in Florence is painted a Roman motto, Festina lente, make haste slowly, attributed to Emperor Augusto, blending an image of a tortoise with the powerful sails of a ship. The current resident of Palazzo Vecchio, the young mayor Matteo Renzi, must have been inspired by the image. He might have been a tortoise, but now he is sailing with the wind of change that brought Beppe Grillo's rise. Support for Renzi as a potential new leader of the opposition has soared since last month when he loudly denounced the left's old leaders for wasting time. So far, it hasn't got him anywhere. The truth is, here, writing in a Tuscan restaurant, and maybe elsewhere also in Italy, it's difficult to generate urgency. Chisto paese sole, chisto paese mare. A very famous Neapolitan song used to portray Italy as the romantic land of sun and sea. It still looks like that for the millions of tourists preparing to holiday here. And I would be lying if I say I still didn't feel the tug of all that when I head for the airport and London.
So, as it often happens with letters written while you're on holiday, I forgot to post it. And now, back in London, I'm doing just that. I've been thinking a lot about it since I was back. And one scary thing I realized was that when I landed in London, for the first time, I was relieved. Because the mood and the lack of hope that I saw in Italy this time was really oppressing. It was really sad. But there is reason for hope. I feel that there is a weather change in Italy, although at the moment it looks really dark. And that's because of the generational change, the new politics we are seeing. They come from young people desperate for change. So something might happen. Otherwise, Italy risks becoming just an impoverished tourist park. And believe me, the collapse of the third economy in the Eurozone could leave you, my dear British listeners, with a much worse headache than what you get with cheap grappa after a lovely Italian meal. Yours, sincerely, Annalisa Piras.
And that's the last of our letters from Italy. The producer was Tom Alban and the series editor, Philip Sellers. And you can hear all the letters and find out more information about the five contributors on the Radio 4 website. Now time for the shipping forecast, issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on today, Saturday the 27th of April. There are warnings of gales in Trafalgar, Fitzroy, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes and South East Iceland. The general synopsis at 1800, low 250 miles west of Iceland, 1015, expected just east of Iceland, 982 by 1800.